The 9 Years Podcast.
All right, it's the second day of our countdown to Wembley updates here, exclusively on 9YRSpodcast.org. It is Thursday the 26th of May. I am Nick Draper, joined today by Stuart Deakins. And well, it's actually nice of you to join us, Stu. Where were you for the podcast yesterday? Or yesterday? Today? We recorded it yesterday.
Well, the thing was, I was so tired after contacting all these people to get interviews. I've just flaked out all week.
Were you flaking out at Priscilla, Queen of the Desert again?
No. Well, that is on tour nowadays, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's going around the country, so I'm sure it'll catch up in the local Crawley theatre, which I don't know if there is one, but yeah.
I thought you'd have been all over that, Stu, with your musicals.
All over Crawley?
Yeah. Anyway, over 300 of you have downloaded this week's podcast already, so we're well on the way to breaking last week's record number, where we've just hit 770 listeners for episode 43. So this week, with Dave Anderson, Terry Brown, Danny Kedwell, Mark DiBolla and John Main all appearing, we imagine another record number is in store. Just check it out on iTunes, YouTube or on this here website, 9yrspodcast.org. Today on our daily update, we'll be talking to Paul Raymond about 1988. There was something that happened that year, but my memories, I can't quite remember what it is, but it rings a bell anyway. And we've also got all the latest news about the playoff final, of which we'll quickly start with, actually. I said on yesterday's update that we could be selling some cheaper top-tier tickets to fans at our pop-up shop in Centre Court. I was rumour-mongering at the time, but that's exactly what's happened and is happening right now and will be over the next couple of days. Our sources suggest around 400 tickets have been sold today through that outlet, which is fantastic. It means our total attendance figure is edging up and up all the time. In fact, Paul, you've been monitoring ticket sales during the week, updating our Twitter with maps of the seats and looking out for when those blocks turn from orange to red. What do you estimate our current sales are? Are we in the region of 20,000, 21,000?
Yeah, I think we're very close to 22,000 now. Originally, when we first reached Wembley, I said straight away 15,000 without a problem. Would, you know, be nice to take 20, and the levels we're at now is just sort of phenomenal. So absolutely brilliant. Just another thing that I think is quite interesting, our friends from the West Country are getting extremely excited about the number of tickets they've actually sold, and yes, it is an incredible amount. But if we compare average attendances, our average attendance is like 47% of what Plymouth get over this season. So the fact that we're in the region of, let's say, 22,000 and they've pretty much maxed out at 33,000, we've done extremely well there.
I would wholeheartedly agree. And also, if you were to look at our respective stadiums, I think the percentage of tickets available to our home fans, I think we take up a much greater percentage of our capacity. But anyway, yeah. Paul, you were at Wembley in 1988 for the FA Cup final.
What are you doing, suggesting I'm old?
Well, everyone's old in comparison to me. I'm only 24. But as you know, 1988 was about 6 years before I was born. But we're talking about tickets for Bank Holiday Monday, obviously. I've heard stories about the tickets for the 1988 Cup final, but never really understood exactly what happened. So what was your recollections of getting hold of a ticket for Wembley back then?
I was a season ticket holder back in 1988. I finished my fourth season, so mine was fairly straightforward for getting tickets. But the big difference in terms of 1988 and 2016 was the lead-up time up to Wembley, and we still had a number of home games left. And a certain club owner at the time thought it would be really sensible. I know what we can do. We can tell everyone, if you come to the last three home games, which I think it was, you will be given a voucher, and then them vouchers can be used to guarantee you a ticket for Wembley. So you can imagine what the attendances were like for the last few games, even though we were at Wembley and people would have come along anyway. There seemed to be a number of people with northern accents, let's put it that way.
That's what you mean.
And they might have been lifelong Wimbledon fans, but at the time there were lots of stories of the fact that, you know, we were given, and well, we were apparently offered an allocation, which we sort of turned down a large chunk of it. I don't know how true that was. And then of what we did take, not all them tickets went on sale to Wimbledon fans.
What were your memories then of the day itself? Once you got your ticket, whereabouts in the stadium were you?
I was in the west end of the stadium.
Okay.
And funnily enough, on Monday afternoon, I will be in the west end stadium. I think I'm pretty much in, I was in the lower tier, I remember that much. It was all, obviously all standing back then. My memories of the day, quite funny, I travelled over before meeting up with friends on my own, and I can remember walking through the tunnel between Northern Line at Stockwell and Stockwell Victoria Line, because we were going up that way, and someone coming up to us and saying, anyone wants to sell their ticket? And I just said, I haven't got my ticket on me, I'm meeting a friend, because I thought, I'm not going to sort of, you know, end up getting my ticket ripped off me or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But a couple of people sort of started speaking, going, what are you going to offer for it? And it was quite an increase in the price, but my ticket wasn't so at all. Wembley was obviously an amazing day. I watched a little bit of the FA Cup final last weekend and I thought, what is this all about? We were in the bar at King's Meadow and people were saying, Wembley is marching bands, you know, for the FA Cup final, marching bands, Abide With Me kickoff, as simple as that. And obviously, being at the west end of the stadium was then Luis Sanchez scored his goal. I remember coming back to getting out the tube at Tooting, walking along, going towards home. And all of a sudden, someone just shouting, go on, Wimbledon, that's brilliant. You know, just such a brilliant, you know, sort of reaction, because you never got that in Tooting at the time. And then I got home and, you know, I was really happy. And I think I was just sort of watching a little bit of the, you know, the news coverage. And then my mum came in and she said, what are you doing here? She goes, there's a big party in Wimbledon. And so I jumped in the car. She drove over to Plough Lane and we partied the night away for several hours. The funny thing was that the little off licence on Haydens Road, right by Plough Lane itself, by about 8:30, it was basically an empty shop. Yeah. As opposed to an off licence. Absolutely everything had been purchased and consumed, shall we say.
You mentioned there the off-licence being left as essentially an empty shop. A couple of days ago, there was an empty shop in Centre Court in Wimbledon, which has been transformed and opened today. We've all been down there, actually, this afternoon, having a look round. But, Paul, you were there very first thing this morning. There were people queuing outside our temporary pop-up shop. It's been ridiculously busy today.
Yeah, it really has. I can actually take that and actually a step further. I actually went over last night just to take a few pictures. There was the shutter down, so you could sort of see into it, but not that clearly. And I thought, yeah, that looks really nice. And then as I was wandering around, I all of a sudden saw Ivor, Dave Charles and Mick Buckley, one of our directors. And they thought I was working in the shop. So all of a sudden they said, it's around this way. So I sort of followed them and I went, where are we going? And they go, into the shop. And I was like, okay. And so went into the shop and even at that stage, this was probably about 6 o'clock last night, it was still very much in transformation stage. But the guys basically got in there about 2 o'clock on what day of the week? Wednesday afternoon, and it was a shell. And there was graffiti on the walls, but it was just like, how can we react quickly to turn this into a shop that everyone will be proud of? And banners went up. They basically thought, right, what do we need as storage space? Storage units were built. Where can we put tills? Things like that. Where can we have areas so people can queue into the shop? And over the course of a couple of hours, it got more and more impressive. And I was in there as they put the finishing touches to it, to the banner at the back of the shop, and then right the front, where they put the banner basically saying AFC Wimbledon official merchandise, Wembley 2016. And even last night, we had people walking past asking us when it was going to be open, would we be selling tickets? So the guys and girls, ladies that worked in the shop on Wednesday, just completely transformed a shell into a extremely impressive retail outlet. And everyone I spoke to either last night, sorry, everyone I spoke to this morning, on Thursday morning before it opened, I got into work at silly o'clock, about 7:15, so I could disappear for an hour and 20 minutes or so, rush to Wimbledon, got there about 9:20 with the shop opening at 9:30, and there was probably a good 15, 20 people waiting to actually go into the shop. We've used Centre Court before where we've done kit launches and even sold a little bit of merchandise, and it's just been from a table. This wasn't like that. This was a full-blown shop, and hopefully this will be the start of a very good relationship with Centre Court, and we can increase business in other shops as well, because if we're bringing trade into the area, it's positive for the community in all aspects.
Yeah, and Centre Court's done a great job as well with the sign outside the main building.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of the station, wishing us luck for the playoff final. It looks fantastic.
And then also we've now got the one outside Merton Civic Centre as well.
Yeah, I've seen that go up as well on Twitter.
It does show that the support in the community is there. And the amount of people that I've spoke to the last couple of days, and they've sort of been wishing us well, and just saying, not supporters and things like that, but saying, wishing us well, look out for the result, and even coming in and taking away a leaflet about Don's Trust and season tickets. So
yeah, it's great to have a presence in there.
Yeah, no, it's really important, and I can only imagine between Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the build-up will get, even more. It'll be interesting to see. No rumours at the moment, but with the way the player sort of build-up is going, they've got the trip to Wembley out of the way. Now that they've got media day out of the way, I wonder if there'll be any sort of player appearances early part of Saturday.
It would be huge, to be fair. The thing I've picked up there, though, is graffiti on the shop walls when you went into the empty shell of the shop. Now, remind me, that was a Build-A-Bear workshop previously.
So, well,
I'm wondering what these 5 and 6-year-olds are scrawling on the walls.
Like, well, no. They built Graffiti Bear. So,
I see, Graffiti Bear, of course.
You build a bear for an occupation. So, yeah.
Of course. Thank you very much, Paul. Right, a couple of things we have to touch on, because you mentioned players there, and there's a bit of player news today. Now, Stu, I asked you about this on the podcast last week, whether Jonathan Meade, we expected to be fit in time for the playoff final, whether he comes straight back in. Well, today on the official website, it's been announced that John Meade is back in full training after his ankle injury, and he's in contention for the playoff final, along with Connor Smith, who hasn't figured since the Newport game where he had that serious injury. Do either of those players get in, A, the squad, B, the team?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Jonathan Meade is a better defender. You have to wonder whether he's had... Knowing Niwali as we do, he wouldn't put anyone in the squad if they've not had enough training, because he very much believes that they should get training and perform in training. So it suggests they've had enough time. I would say bench for both. But I do like the idea of Smith playing, because I do think we probably need to get some legs in that midfield. I don't want to change formation to try and accommodate Plymouth, but we do need to really counter their strengths in their midfield, and I do worry playing a 4-4-2 with Bartram and Rigg. I do think we get isolated. So he's got some interesting things, but it's good to have a player like Meade on the bench. But I don't think Callum's done enough to warrant being dropped. But how can I put it? It wouldn't surprise me if Meade went straight back in.
Plymouth team news there, coming from their camp, is that except for Ryan Brunt and Josh Simpson, who have long term injured, they've pretty much got a full strength squad. Their manager Derek Adams was interviewed for their official website going through preparation. He's playing it down really in terms of his players not going to freeze on the big stage of playing in front of a large crowd at Wembley Stadium. A number of his players say, he says, have got experience of playing in crowds that size. Don't really talk about us that much, which is interesting, other than to acknowledge the fact that we've had a good season and what a good job that Neil Ali has done. Do you think there's a chance that Plymouth might potentially be underestimating us?
I don't know. I like Derek Adams. I think he's a good manager. He's done a great job. I think he's saying the right things. You could have played it. You could have played a sorry part, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you've had all of. I don't believe. I might be wrong, but I don't believe Wild played for Celtic. I could be wrong, but he's probably played in their atmospheres, but not with the expectance. So let's be fair. Plymouth are going to Wembley to win and thinking they're going to win. There's no doubt about that. They're the favourites. They're the big city club. And their fans are expectant. So, yeah, I hope they keep us under the radar. I don't think they will. You know, we beat them 2-1 at their place recently. I know people say I won't play too much of significance. I think it does. I think it knows that they played well against us apparently, but we still beat them. So I think we have to remember that and try and go for them. But I think it's really, there's key players on both sides. I think it's whoever performs, and I fancy us heavily, purely for the fact of our clean sheets. A clean sheet is impressive, and the only goal we conceded in like 10 games is arguably a foul on Rigg for the Portsmouth goal.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. Do you know what? You cast my memory back there. I forgot about that, the foul of the build-up to Michael Smith's goal.
And obviously, take away playoffs.
Yeah, ignoring the playoffs, obviously. But
you know, our form, our clean sheets and our defence is our strongest part at the moment by miles.
How are you feeling at the moment? Confident, nervous? What's your feelings 4 days before the kickoff?
I'm okay. To be fair, it's been really weird. We've been quite busy on the podcast, haven't we? We had loads of stuff planned. That's been good in a way, because it's sort of, I went into work this morning thinking, crikey, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Sort of basis, sitting there thinking, yes, Drew, well done, congratulations. But it has flown by. We've got, like I say, I think because we've got loads of stuff planned and we've got, obviously, an additional podcast we're doing Saturday, I think it's not too bad. I will get nervous on a day. I've never seen Wimbledon play at Wimbledon. I've seen England play many a times, and you know, you and I have been together to England games, haven't we? But there's nothing better than, you know, your home team playing Wimbledon. I can't wait.
I don't think any of us can wait, really. We're only 4 more sleeps until the big day, and that brings us to the end of this week's show. You see how that's almost become a habit for me to say that. Brings us to the end of today's Daily Update. Remember to follow all the work we're doing on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And thank you very much, Paul, for orchestrating a lot of what's going on social media currently at 9YRS Podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow here on 9YRSPodcast.org with another daily update. But in the meantime, if you haven't already, listen to our latest edition of the podcast, which is available on iTunes and YouTube. Great feedback already about our interviews with 5 ex-Wimbledon managers and players. And great to hear from you as well. So add your comments to Twitter and Facebook. You can do so on the website as well, or email us, as I say, at 9yrs@may14.co.uk. Thank you very much, Paul, for joining us. Thank you very much, Stu, for turning up today.
Thank you. I'll try and do it again sometime.
That'll be nice. And we'll see you again tomorrow.